TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents Winning Wednesdays. This is the show that covers the latest sports gambling topics from a worldwide perspective and is dedicated to the hearts and minds of sports enthusiasts everywhere. Now, Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone.com.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of Winning Wednesdays. I'm your host, John Kelly. My co-host, Mo Fo-Me, with the week off. Mo has a doctor's appointment, but will return with us next Wednesday. I do have Mo's three plays for you, and I'll relay those at the end of the show. You will hear three voices on today's program. You'll hear my voice. You'll hear the voice of OSU Cowboys, a respected poster at EOG.com. He's a professional sports gambler from Oklahoma who's spending the month of May in Las Vegas, and we'll ask OSU about his time in Las Vegas. You'll also hear from Doc from Legend Sportsbook. Doc will join us at a quarter past the hour. Doc has been gambling since the age of 14. He's 47 now, lives there in Panama City, Panama. He spent time in Costa Rica. And one of our favorite EOG posters, Viejo Dinosaur, has a close association with Doc, and we'll ask Doc about Viejo later in the program. OSU, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having me, John. It's a pleasure to be back.
Last we spoke, OSU, we were offering tributes to the late Ken and Jackie Weitzner. At that time, OSU, you told me you were going to rethink your involvement in sports betting. I'm wondering, did you have time to reflect and rethink your involvement in sports betting? Has that led you to any new conclusions?
I actually did, John. I spent some time away. It wasn't a long time, but I did spend some time away and did some thinking and actually went to spoke to some people and got a little bit of help, you know, because I'd recently lost a friend the week before that in a motorcycle wreck. So I was kind of a train wreck, so to speak, for about a 10-day period. But, you know, I realized that the sports market and sports gambling and sports investing is it's who I am. It's what I love to do. I wake up every day and I love doing what I do. And it's me. And, you know, just I came to the conclusion, John, that I'm not going to allow one person and their series of poor decisions to affect who I am moving forward. You know, I don't have to be Ken. I don't have to make the same decisions he made. And I can learn from him. And that's really what I took from it.
That sounds encouraging, and definitely I can hear some enthusiasm back in your voice, OSU. How many years have you been gambling, and how many years have you been winning?
I've gambled now for about 17 years and have won for the last four.
How are you and Mrs. OSU enjoying Las Vegas?
Things are well. I mean, the weather here is absolutely phenomenal. Every day I've had an opportunity to meet a ton of people. I've met Rick A. from Sports Options. I went to dinner with him and his lovely wife, and just salt-of-the-earth people, good people. Rick has an absolute understanding of the sports market, understands the business in and out, and had a lot of good gambling stories and good old boys and good old days type stories back from the days whenever, you know, they used to write tickets, you know, rather than doing things on the internet. I've spent a lot of time hanging out with Ray Cabino and learning a lot from Ray. He's just a wealth of information, and met Slim Shady for lunch yesterday, and I'm actually going to meet Poster Palm Tree for lunch here in a couple hours today.
Great on the forums how the smart guys seem to hang together, and you found some sharp guys there. Where are you spending most of your time, OSU? What's your favorite sports book, or do you have a few of them?
It's one and one only. You know, I'm at the M right now as we speak. I'm actually in the parking lot in my car, taking a break from working the morning shift there. The M is an amazing, 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 amazing sports book. You know, the first three bets I made there were, you know, $5,000 or more, and they asked me if I wanted more on every bet. Instead of cowering and asking me if I was staying at the hotel and asking me if I had an ID and asking this and this and that, they just took the bet and asked me if I wanted more, and they are not scared whatsoever.
How about disappointments? Did you go to sports books where you were turned away?
Yes, the Orleans. I was trying to play the openers at Orleans. I've got a condo that's kind of over by the Orleans, and I was on my way to the M, and I was trying to play some openers there, and, you know, they were letting me only have 500 a whip. And, you know, obviously that's not going to do anything. It's just not even really, you know, with the EV that you have on those good bets, it's really not even worth pulling in the parking lot, you know, really. You know, especially when you come out here to the M and you can bet anything you want.
When you bet baseball, are you betting on the outcomes, OSU, or are you looking to scalp? Do you make the bet to win the bet, or are you making the bet to put yourself in a better position?
It's a combination of both, John. I've actually learned a lot from Ray Cabino and from some other guys on the scalping stance, and they're in arbing, and there's plenty of room to do that here. There are opinions at the M. The M does not, although they move quickly, they don't necessarily follow the air on the screen. You know, so if something shoots up, you have a chance to really get a big bet down here, and then you can go scalp it off at Matchbook, at Pinnacle. You know, yesterday was a fabulous example. You know, Cincinnati, you know, opens around 130, shoots up to 145, 150. In some spots, you know, I lay the 130 here at the M for a very, 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 all the money I had on me. I emptied out my pockets doing it, and then go back to Matchbook and scalp the thing back at plus 38. You know, so I ended up with a Cincinnati position and got lucky to win, but my average lay price was 103 instead of the closing number of 134 or 5.
Making a bet in Las Vegas, safe, secure, and obviously legal, making a bet in faraway places can be a little bit dangerous, OSU. Have you ever been stiffed by an offshore sports book?
Knock on wood, I have not. I am in the middle of working with, actually not working with Bet 911, because I've only spoken with Robert once, and that's when the news broke of 911 and their problems, financial woes, and, you know, I'm just going to kind of leave them alone, let them do their thing. I mean, you know, me calling them and harassing them every day is not going to make any money appear, and I know that. You know, the best thing I think for me, the best play for me at this time is just let Robert try to work out whatever deal he can work out, if one can get worked out, and then live with the consequences. But that situation does not look promising to me right now, John. I've got a very, very healthy balance there, a very substantial balance. And you know, the late Mr. Weitzner had always kind of told me I was good there and said that I wouldn't have any problems. And, you know, obviously his untimely death kind of coincided as well with this big figure that looks like I might be out of.
EOG moderator Ball Wonder was wondering about that situation. Also, EOG poster Reload says you sound a lot like Peyton Manning, and he's wondering if you're still knocking him dead in the NBA second halves, OSU. Have you gotten involved in a lot of second halves in the NBA playoffs?
I tell you, the NBA playoffs have not been kind to me thus far, and it's really the last five games for Boston that have done it for me. I really took on some anti-Boston positions, both for the series, last series, both for the Eastern Conference and for the finals. And obviously, at this point, with them reeling off five in a row, two of those being on the road in Orlando the last couple of games, I've got a ton of negative equity in those positions right now. I'm scrambling, trying to figure out, okay, what can I do to minimize this damage? And you know, the playoffs were good to that point, but now I've got so much negative equity, it's going to be hard for me to win this NBA playoff season, to be honest.
Game 3 in the Eastern Conference Finals is Saturday. Boston, a 3-point home favorite over Orlando. The total right now at Pinnacle is at 190, adjusted series price. Boston, a $4 favorite. And in the West, the Western Conference Finals, Game 2 is tonight. The Lakers up to 7 over the Suns. The total at Pinnacle right now, 215. And a half, the Lakers more than a $6 favorite in the adjusted series price. OSU, it looks like we've got a rematch of the 2008 NBA Finals. It looks like we could have the Celtics meeting the Lakers again.
We do, and it looks like Rondo has really flipped the switch. I mean, that kid is playing at a whole other level, and until there's a point guard that can check that guy, Boston's going to really have an advantage at that position. I know Derek Fisher can't stop Rajon Rondo. There's zero chance that can happen. Jimmy Nelson's too small. He can't get it done. And he's just really running roughshod over who he plays against. I mean, he's controlling the game, and it's not the big three anymore. It's absolutely the big four. And in my opinion, he may be the biggest of the four right now.
He is a matchup nightmare and can do so much and really doesn't have a killer outside shot either. Just impossible to stay in front of Rajon Rondo, and you're right about Derek Fisher at age 35. He's going to have a tough time. In fact, I remember in 08, Kobe Bryant trying to make the switch over to Rondo, but then there was no one to guard Pierce or Allen, and Boston just trashed L.A. in the 2008 finals. But that was a different team for the L.A. Lakers back then. They were starting Radmanovic and Vujicic. That was like an international team. They've since toughened up a little bit. Recruiting Ron Artest to be a stopper was important. Odom has come alive. And I love the development of Pau Gasol. I think he's the best seven-footer in the game, OSU. I love the combination of Kobe and Pau. I think that's the best 1-2 punch in the NBA.
Powell's moves, he is absolutely blossomed there in L.A., and it's easy to blossom when you got the greatest player in the world playing right next to you every day. But he you know, both offensively, defensively, rebounding, and, you know, I think the biggest problem for a lot of teams with the Lakers is their length. They're just so long, you know, with all the guys they have, but Boston kind of has that neutralizes with, you know, Perkins and Garnett and those guys, so it could be a matchup issue for the Lakers.
One of the secrets to basketball handicapping, I think. It's not about height, it's about length. Length and strength, and the Lakers have both. I remember the Bulls teams when Phil Jackson had the Bulls teams going good. That was a long team, too. Jordan so long, Pippen, Grant, Cartwright. They always recruited long athletes, even guys like B.J. Armstrong and Ron Harper. They had long arms and legs, and, oh boy, that length is tough if you're a basketball player. OSU, you mentioned you've been gambling 17 years with the past four being successful. What were you doing wrong the first 13 years, and what are you doing right now in the past four?
I was throwing darts, John, to be very honest. I mean, you know, to start, I was throwing darts. I mean, I tried several different things. I tried, you know, the nonsense, the systems. That didn't work. I tried fading the public. That didn't work because I was still laying 110. You know, it's different when you're fading the public and you're getting plus 110. You know, when you got to lay the 110, that doesn't always, in fact, it doesn't work. You know, and again, just trying to do voodoo, just trying to, you know, pick teams that I thought were good and trying to be a handicapper. And I realize that there are people that are in this market that are way, 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 way more advanced and much sharper than I am and are better at what they do than I could ever do with my little guessing or using a newspaper or trying to do this or do that. And those things just didn't work. And, you know, I lost, you know, a fortune, you know, before I figured out what this market is about and my place in it and my role in it and how I fit in it and how I can make money in it.
How do you know when to follow the money, OSU, and when to fade the money? How do you know the difference between sharp money and square money?
A lot of times, John, you know, I mean, you can get a feel on public teams. I mean, you know, the Yankees are always going to get bet. So if they get steamed up, I don't pay much attention to that. Philly is another team. I mean, a lot of these teams that are public teams with big markets as far as their customer base goes, you know, like the big cities and so on and so forth. Obviously, they've got more money than the rest of the world, and with the smaller sports market. So, I won't follow the high profile teams. You know, if there's big moves on that, but you know, I'm generally with the money more than I am against it. I don't like to fade. It seems like every time I fade money, I get beat.
Where's the money the sharpest? In which sports, OSU, is sharp money successful in the NFL? What about some of the niche sports that don't catch a lot of money and don't attract a lot of public attention?
But John, obviously, I believe the most efficient markets are going to be the ones with the higher limits, you know, the NFLs, the NBAs. I think that, you know, once you come to NBA playoff time, there is no value in a side. If you're playing a side, you're just playing it to play it. You know, yeah, I really believe that by this point in time, they've got everything hammered out. And, you know, I don't think that there's much wiggle room these days. But, you know, one thing I have learned about this market, John, is this M, they're very, very sharp. I mean, these guys, you know, they are the real deal, and they'll take a bet. And they've got people in there doing good things and that really are – the M has a lot of leans. You know, I mean, you'll see something that looks kind of out of whack, and, you know, I've been guilty as well recently betting it. And then, you know, going home and, you know, before, you know, 5 hours before the game and liking my position. And then, you know, when it comes closer, I'm not the favorite anymore. And I may even have a negative EV bet. And it's these, the lines are really following this M a lot. And I think a lot of people are catching on to that.
Are you more impressed with the M or, say, Pinnacle, an operation that's enjoyed tremendous reputation through the years? Which is sharper, the M line or the Pinnacle's line?
I tell you, there's a lot of debate about that. I mean, you know, Cabby and I and another associate of his that I've met while I was out here believes that right now, right this minute, that the sharpest baseball lines in the world are the M. And I don't know if I agree with that yet. I can promise you, John, I'm becoming more and more convinced in the way they're closing and the way that the results are going. But this place is the real deal, and they will. I can't say it enough. They'll take a bet. I mean, you know, there was rumor that Adam Meyer was out here betting $250,000 a game or $120,000 a game or whatever it was, and you know, I was somewhat skeptical. But I absolutely positively believe it now. There's absolutely zero question that they will take anything from anybody. They'll take on all comers, and they're just not scared.
Good that you're there to see the action firsthand. When do you head back to Oklahoma?
We're going to be back before Memorial Day. I'll probably leave early next week. I've got plans for Memorial Day weekend, and I want to take the long way home. I think that we're going to go, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I think we're going to head up towards Salt Lake City, drive that way and across, you know, Wyoming and head over to Nebraska and then come down. We've never driven that part of the country, and got a little extra time on our hands, and I can work from my hotel every morning, so it allows for me to still do what I love, and it allows me to see some beautiful things along the way.
Have you been doing anything else in Las Vegas, OSU, other than gambling?
You know, I flew my 21-year-old brother in. He had never been to Vegas as an adult. He had been as a child, but I flew him in for the weekend, and we really went out and had a lot of good times, spent a lot of time at the pools during the day, and I couldn't make it out for the night shift because I'm not 21 anymore, but he came rolling in every day around 6 in the morning, and when I was getting up to go to work, you know, so I thought it was quite comical. You know, he's catching the sunrises a little bit different way than I am, but you know, what I'd give to be 21 again to be able to pull that stuff off.
How old are you?
36. Just turned 36.
36.
Turned 36 a couple days ago.
Very well. We have a pair of 47-year-olds on the show with you. Both Doc and me are 47, so we've been where you're at, OSU, and still a young man, 36. Have you ever held a 9-to-5 job, OSU, or is gambling?
I've held several. I mean, I was in the rent-to-own business. I was a regional manager for Rent-A-Center. Five and a half years ago. And was in the car business doing some car stuff, and now doing some commercial real estate on top of the things that I'm doing now to try to, you know, just get into something that's a little bit more mainstream. You know, I was a restaurant manager for 7 years. You know, I've worked and what I consider work, and what I do today, although it is work, it's definitely it's the most enjoyable work I think there is on the planet.
I love the fact you can be your own boss. Nobody can tell you what to do if you can gamble and win. You can set your own hours, though they are long hours if you're into the research and handicapping of the games or the chasing of the numbers or analyzing of the market. They can be long hours, but they can be rewarding ones as well. We'll step aside and take the first time out of the program. When we return, our featured guest will join us. His name is Doc. He comes to us from Legends, a respected sportsbook based in Panama. We'll speak with Doc next here on Winning Wednesdays.
Adam Meyer, the sports consultant of the stars, is box office money, and the heavy hitters know it. Hated for over 20 years by the sports books, and for good reason, because Adam Meyer wins. Over $10 million is waged weekly based on his advice. You too can reap the benefits of Adam Meyer helping turn outcomes into income. Go to AdamWins.com. That's AdamWins.com, and learn how he has made millions for his clients. Or call 800-355-5883. 800-355-5883. AdamWins.com.
Ready for true mobility? Bookmaker Mobile gives you a whole new way to wager. Anytime, anywhere. Simply browsing WAP.bookmaker.com from your cell phone or PDA, you can start accessing the betting world. Placing a wager has never been this easy. Review open wagers, check out your history, or even check out your balance, all from the palm of your hand. Now, when, where, and how you bet is entirely up to you. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
Right, are we ready?
Yeah!
talkzone.com.
The real reason for the invention of the internet. Talkzone.com. Let's return to Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone.
And we are back. John Kelly and OSU Cowboys, now joined by our special guest. We'll call him Doc from Legends. He was born in Minnesota, raised in Southern California, living now in Panama City in the Republic of Panama. Doc, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. It's my pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm good, and so is OSU. In fact, OSU.
Hello, OSU. How are you?
OSU?
Yes.
Yes, and you have a you'll have a series of questions for Doc in a moment, but let's get your background on record first, Doc. Gambling since the age of 14. Tell me about that introduction.
Basically, this started off at the racetrack. Just, you know, you start hanging around with kids that were doing it, and you pick up the racing form, and you sneak in, you get in, you have guys make your bets, and all downhill from there at the racetrack, unfortunately. No, it's been a great time. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
It is a tough game.
For 33 years.
The racetrack days, yes, in the 80s and 90s, and you were there in Southern California at a time when the product was excellent. You had good horse racing to look at.
Oh, yeah. I used to go out and watch John Henry and, you know, Greenton and, you know, a lot of good horses, Precisionist, and, you know, just magnificent animals out here they used to have. Obviously, the product now is a little watered down and things aren't the same, but, you know, grade ones are now what grade threes used to be, and, you know, but, you know, you take what you get.
What was your what was your introduction to offshore sports betting?
Well, offshore, I started out working in 81 for the owner of Bet Chris in Los Angeles. We had an office, and he basically liked what he saw and let me run my own office for up until I left the Dominican in 1990. Went to work for more of a mom and pop shop in LA for about 10 years after that. And then they relocated down south, and I just, at the time, wasn't interested in going. So I waited around a couple of years and decided I better get back to work, and made a few phone calls. It was easy to land a good job at a good book in 2002, and this opportunity here opened up at Legends in 2006, and I couldn't pass it up. I'm working with great people. The GM's been a friend of mine from the track for 20-plus years, so everything worked out about as good as it could.
You've lived in both Costa Rica and Panama City. Tell me the difference between the two places. I've never been to either one.
Well, Costa Rica is a little milder climate and stuff, and, you know, it's the people are very nice, a lot more friendly. Panama is more city, business-oriented, a lot warmer. I live right around the corner from the Veneto Hotel. I love it. I love the area. It's peppered with, you know, retirees from Canada and states and stuff, and a lot of Panamanians, too, but everybody, it's just a nice neighborhood and stuff, and I walk around every day. I don't even take a car anywhere. There's no reason to. Everything's walking distance. And Costa Rica was a little more Wild West-ish, I would guess, you could say, you know, for people that enjoyed the nightlife and stuff. But, you know, I was mostly about work and, you know, go home and mess around, have a cigar, maybe a drink, and that was about it. But Costa Rica was a lot more, like I said, a little more of the Wild West type. Panama is more of a modernization of a city, you would say. A lot like Miami.
A lot like Miami. And I know Panama is the southernmost country of North America. Do they deal in dollars or pesos?
Yes,
what about?
Yeah, dollars. In Costa Rica, you can use dollars, but their currency is called colones.
English or Spanish?
Spanish is the native language of both, but obviously in this business, you find everybody speaking English. Obviously, all your workers have to. And the restaurants you go to, you get a mix of people. But like I said, I learned Spanish in the Dominican back in the late 80s, so I just had to refresh a little bit and stuff. But I speak pretty good Spanish, so it's very easy to get around.
Tell me about your operation, Legends. I know it's Legends with a Z or Legends with an S. You have both now, so you can go to legends.com and check out this operation. You said you've been with them since May of 2006. They've been in business since 1996. Doc, how big an operation is Legends? How many employees is there?
Well, we have, during high season football, I would say we have over 100 clerks and probably 150 total employees, counting, you know, sales and customer service and whatnot. And during low season, I would say the number hovers around 100 total for the whole area. We have like I said, we have monster, you know, just a monster business. Like I said, 90% of all the big places, you know, their main stuff is credit, you know, post-ups. Not really a side note, but, you know, everybody came down here that's still in business had a huge credit operation, and that's the backbone of your business. So you try to, you know, you got to keep an eye on both, but that's why we kind of have low limits and stuff on post-up. I kind of let it police itself and stuff like that because, I'm, you know, you're dealing with, you know, like this morning, I, you know, I got a guy bet me $20,000 on, you know, Arizona minus $1.53. You know, the game's up to $65. That's the kind of guys you're dealing with. You just kind of, you know, it's just part of the job. It's fun. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for nothing, but you got to keep an eye on stuff, and that's why we kind of keep, so the post-up people can get money back and forth easier. We kind of keep people at lower limits and lower stuff like that. But some guys after you know, a month or two, if they want their limits raised, they can easily get it raised depending on who they are and how they wager and stuff. Obviously, in this business to make money, so not everybody gets kicked up.
Do you accept wagers and then lay them off, or do you book every bet that comes in?
Never lay a wager off. No, just move a line. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to get rid of nothing. You just move a line and get something back. That's like I said, everybody basically starts out with the same line, whether it be from Chris or whoever happens to pop up the line. It's what you do with it after that that matters. I mean, you got to justify moves. I mean, I put opinions in lines. I like football games like anybody else. On Saturdays and Sundays, I'll have games different and everything. But it's what you do with your wagering after that, how you can make profit off stuff after that that counts. I mean, I'd rather have a guy lay me $1.10 for big limits and take a bunch of 05, you know, $200-$300 bets. I mean, it's a lot easier for me to make a profit off those wagers, obviously.
Whose openers do you respect most? You mentioned Chris.
Well, they're usually the first ones up, so, you know, and they get banged around. They don't post them up right away. They put them up. They let a few guys play them, and then they're open for business for everybody. And, they, you know, right on their heels. A lot of times Greek will put up the baseball the same time as Chris or whatever. And then Pinnacle usually flounders in after that and five dimes, and then whoever. You know, everybody starts coming up. Then it's just a race to get up after that. That's basically how that is. And then you let people start firing and see what happens.
How does the Panamanian government feel about your operation there, Doc? Do you get any resistance from the Panamanians? And what about U.S. intervention? Is there ever any heat from the government?
Well, I really don't know much about that, nor do I want to. I'm blessed enough to be able to work from home. I don't go into the office, so I don't see if anybody is snooping around or asking questions or anything like that. I just stay home with my numbers and my computers, and that's all I do. So I really, really couldn't give you a good answer. I don't think we've had any problems. Everything seems to be running smoothly, but, you know, like I said, I don't get involved in that. Don't want to know and don't ask.
Don't ask. I like that. And don't want to know. OSU Cowboys, questions for Doc from Legends.
Yeah, Doc, a couple questions for you. Number one, obviously, you guys move on air, I would assume, like most of the other books, you know, like, you know, Greek or Pinnacle or whatever the case may be. Whenever, you know, whenever someone makes a big bet and the screen goes black, you guys move on air. Do you guys move on air? I guess it's the first question.
Absolutely do not move on air. I got so many, like I said, here's what people think. Legends is tied into about 3,000 credit guys, and they don't know they're playing a Legends. I get bet before Pinnacle, Chris, or anybody. I'll be brutally honest with you. We take such big action from some of these guys. Only thing I look at Don Best for is for injuries and scores or time changes.
Excellent.
That's
wow. That's
amazing. A lot of times I'll have a game that won't be moving just because I've taken it off the board and I might be betting it myself and then I'll put it back up. So.
Right on.
Definitely don't move on there. That's a very common misconception. If a book is Pinnacle, Chris, or Greek, if they move on air.
As far as, you know, incoming money and paying the players whenever they do finally win. What methods do you guys offer as far as receiving and making payments to players and from players?
Once again, nothing I get involved in, but I know that Marissa from customer service could answer that, or Mary real easily. I know Western Union. I know there's other means, too, that they use. I know we pay players usually within a day of their request. That I know within 24 hours. As far as money in and out, like I said, I'm strictly lines. I don't get involved in any of the customer service or sales. They don't even let me talk to customers because of my personality, I guess. But I'm not even allowed to speak to people. So, you know, I really don't know, but I know, like I said, I know we don't get any complaints as far as pays. And when I do glance at a form occasionally, I don't see any problems, you know, so that's good, I guess.
You can go to legends.com and maybe find out more information on that. How's business in the offshore sports betting world, Doc? The economy is down just about everywhere. How's business at Legends?
Last year, we, you know, we felt overall handle. We felt it too. Everything was down last year as far as handle goes, as opposed to 2008, 2007, and 2006. Hold percentage went up slightly, but handle was down quite a bit. And you know, it's starting to come around again. I've been busier for baseball now than I was last year, that's for sure. So, you know, it might be signs of things turning the corner, and hopefully things get rolling real good again during football. So, but like I said, handle is down, I don't know, 10 to 15%, I guess, and that's a lot. You know, you take that away from any business, that's a lot of handle. So, but like I said, a lot of guys, you know, that, you know, were firing big weren't firing at all because they were involved in the market or, you know, whatever their business may have been. So, you know, that screeched them to a halt pretty quick. So, but yeah, like I said, it's already picking up compared to last year, this time of year at baseball. So it's looking pretty good to me.
You're listening to Winning Wednesdays, John Kelly and OSU Cowboys. We're joined by Doc from Legends. We'll get to more questions from OSU in a moment. Doc, who do you answer to? Who owns Legends?
Well, I talk to my boss, Luke. That's the person I answer to, and my GM, my very good friend. And it's underneath him, Mr. Gooch, and him and I, we talk daily practically. You know, we're best friends for many years. So, you know, any problems, there's really no problems. But we rarely actually speak about business, talk about horses or whatnot, or goofing around or whatever like that. So as far as business goes, everything, when it runs smooth, no news is good news. So, you know, usually I don't speak to him, which is fine.
What did you think about Super Saver winning the Derby and looking at Lucky capturing the Preakness?
Yeah, looking at Lucky had such a monster trouble trip in the Derby. I just couldn't get over the jock switch. I wanted Gomez back on, so I didn't pull the trigger. Like I said, my GM, my friend, he hit the Superfecta for $17,000. I made fun of him for using Jackson Bend, a horse I hated. So, as usual, I took the powder, and he got the money. But the Derby itself, you know, Burrell snapped me off. I'd bet Icebox. You know, it's typical horse player's lament, which, like I said, when you bet as many races as I do, which is about 20, 25 a day, you know, you have a lot of good, bad beat stories.
EOG poster Willie Loman, I believe he's crossed your path through the years. Doc, he wants to know about the time you punched a hole in the side of a van. Tell us about that story.
Oh, geez. No comment. Nah, it was a 8 or 9 Presidente Grande day down in the Dominican, and long Saturday, you know, working about, because back then you, you know, no computers, you worked all day handwriting tickets, you graded all night, you know, you get to sleep a couple hours, you know, have a couple of Presidentes to take the edge off. Well, nighttime rolled around, and I was a little irritated about a few scores that landed, a few things that happened, and I just decided to take it out on the car.
Are you a better bookmaker or are you a better gambler?
Bookmaker by 1,000 miles, and it ain't close. Let other people decide who I need laying me 11 to 10 instead of me deciding who I need laying 11 to 10. That's a lot easier.
OSU Cowboys, more questions for Doc.
Excellent. Yeah, number one, what do you guys take on anybody, or do you guys, you know, the guys who seem to win are the guys who are constantly beating the closers and doing good things? Do you guys kick those guys to the curb, or what does it take to get kicked to the curb at Legend?
Most of those guys that bet like that are in packages, and they stay as long as their agent wants them. I have no problem with them. I love them, and the more the merrier, and the earlier the better, you know, for me. So, no, nobody gets kicked out. Like I said, post-up guys, like I said, if they're super sharp, you know, like that, they'll stay, they can get their nickels until the cows come home. They'll never get cut back or less than that. But the credit guys can pretty much do whatever their agents want as long as, you know, our boss is okay with it, which he always is. So there's really no way, you know, if an agent wants to get rid of a guy, he can, you know, he can hook up with another agent, or maybe he can get recommended to us via some other way. But, yeah, we don't kick anybody out. Like I said, the more the merrier.
Excellent, because that's definitely a rarity these days, in this, especially in this climate. People just don't like the sharp action and whatsoever. I guess the next question I have is, do you guys offer 10-cent basis, or do you guys have the full 20-cent lines like Chris?
On the screen is 20-cent, but there are some packages that get dime lines, yeah. You know, but it's like Chris. It shows up on the screen as 20. That's what it is for post-up, for obvious reasons. And then, obvious, because, like I said, they get other perks and stuff, so it's just easier to have it up like that. But yeah, we have a lot of packages that get dime lines, many. So it's just a chop off of the screen and stuff. So if you see 45, they're laying 40, obviously taking 30 and whatnot. But,
What are your thoughts on what are your thoughts on market efficiency? Do you believe that markets are efficient? Do you believe that they're inefficient? What are your thoughts on that?
Markets, as far as tracking the line and finding the real market of the game and stuff, yeah, it's efficient. Like I said, though, as long as the guy's betting me and somebody's betting the other side, yeah, it doesn't matter to me who wins, who loses, to be honest with you. You identify your good players, your sharp players, and it's not hard to get on their side. Like I said, that's why I like the earlier they bet, the better. That way I can get on their side quicker. You know, it makes it a lot easier.
Right. Do you believe, are you of the belief, as a lot of professional gamblers are you of the belief that if you consistently beat the closer, that you're going to beat the game, that you're going to be a winning gambler?
If you beat the closing number, especially on point spread sports, yeah. Either way, whichever way you get the peak at, whether it's the early move or taking the absolute maximum value at post in a game, let's say a football game that opened 4, and you know whoever played it, Billy, whatever, went to 6, and some followers made it 6.5. I'll take +7, I'll take -4, whichever one I can get. Like I said, the key to us is try to book as much money in the gray area as possible. You want to write maximum action from 5 to 6.5, all you can get. You know, you try to avoid the peaks of the market like anybody would. So that's one of the advantages of some places that do move on air. If they don't move too far, they can book in the gray area a lot easier. Let's say a game jumps from 4 to 5 and call it truth right away in the morning. You know, if they want to put up 4.5, they might luckily get a follower to lay 4.5. But, you know, you got to worry about that, too, in case it's a phony. So that's why you're much better off just taking the bets and just worrying about it. Like I said, you identify your players real easy anyway. It takes one day to know who's who. So.
Right on. It sounds like you have a very good grasp of the market, and that's obviously why you have a successful lines-making job and business there, because I agree as well. In fact, Cabby and I were talking about this yesterday, that you know, you can be on either side of the peak. As long as you're on the peak, you're going to be a winning gambler. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, because he and I do different work, but we bet some of the same stuff. And you'll have a game +38, and I laid 36 in the game. You know, and it doesn't matter
right.
Who wins there. You know, because we're both going to win is what's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's, like I said, just this morning, I couldn't believe the St. Louis game. It was, you know, 69 a pinnacle, or not 69, but. And they moved to 50. They moved 15 cents. I mean, they're booking negative juice. I know. He likes to get on the game, but that was ridiculous. I mean, just
right.
You know, just, sometimes you just can't. You can't. You got to respect all the stuff, but you can't go crazy.
Same thing happened yesterday in that Cincinnati game. You know, it opened 30 and shot up real quick, and then all the buybacks happened, and the same exact situation as yesterday.
Yeah, and that's a problem with the place to move on air. All they're getting is the buyback side. They think they did something good. Well, no, because it's a coin flip at that number. Who's going to win? There's no value in loading up on either side.
Correct. Yep.
Doc, what's the biggest bet you've ever accepted?
Super Bowl. Took numerous six-figure bets on the Super Bowl. I mean, I booked a $20,000 baseball round robin on 3 totals yesterday that won. Pittsburgh Philly under, Cubs under, and some other under, whatever. They all made me throw up, but it happens every day. I mean, that guy's package is about even for the week now. I mean, just like I said, it's out there. You just take it, you move it, you try to write against it, and you hope for the best. You hope the guy goes 2 out of 3, not 3 out of 3, but it happens occasionally, so.
Are there a lot of betting syndicates out there, Doc? We often hear about Billy's group and Walter's getting down football and basketball season. Are there a lot of betting syndicates out there?
Yeah, there's a few other ones. Like I said, Billy's obviously the main guy, and everybody thinks every move that comes in is him too, which is okay. That's fine. Like I said, I just know by numbers of guys that come in who's who and what's what, and who's doing what. You know, that's how I know. You know, Billy from the other guy from Raz or whatever don't make any difference to me because, you know, they all move about the same. But like I said, it's nothing more fun than college basketball in the morning when Raz is firing because then the followers come in and lay these horrible numbers. You know, win, lose, or draw, it makes my job easy because I can just write against it. You know, Raz can go 18-0 and I'm not going to lose any money, you know, so it doesn't matter to me. I just like the guys chasing the bad numbers. That's the key. And they do.
Others in the sports advisory business, Doc, who have an influence in the market. You mentioned Edward Golden. He's been a contributor on this program in the past. The Right Angle Sports has an excellent reputation. Any other sports advisors or sports consultants that have an impact on the marketplace?
Yeah, they have impact on the market, but they're not guys that I overly jump around. I mean, you know, there's guys like Greg Roberts that releases lock a couple games of the week, and there's all these guys. They have a big following, too. I mean, they have a lot of guys down south that you just let them fire. You just let them play the number. You know, if he gets hot and goes on a roll, yeah, you're taking the shorts a little, but in the long run, you know, you move the line to where the market is. If Greg likes -7 on the game and, you know, everybody's 7.5 or 8 and his guys are laying 8, it's, you know, you're definitely not taking the worst of it. You're taking the best of it. So you just let him fire and stuff. This other one, North Coast Sports, people like, and, you know, I don't really keep track of them that much because the only ones that really fire, I got like about 40 Raz customers. And, you know, everybody's trying to get Billy's lines and stuff. But, you know, like I said, once you move it, you don't really care. You know, you hope they keep betting. So.
NBA action, Doc. We've got 4 teams still alive, but more and more it's looking like only 2 teams will survive. Boston looked good last night. They have a commanding 2-0 lead over Orlando. L.A. goes to post tonight at home against Phoenix. The Suns better improve their effort or that'll be a short series. Who do you like to win the NBA Finals this season?
Well, I have a minuscule future. I don't bet much. I have a minuscule future on the Lakers at the start of the year. Not a great value, but, you know, it's just one of those. I figured they're going to make it to the finals. Meanwhile, about 2 weeks ago, I wasn't so sure. But, you know, they're looking okay again now. So I like them to win it. I mean, I'd like to see them in Boston just like anybody else would probably. So, you know, if it was the old Celtics, I'd be rooting for the Celtics. That's for sure.
What price did you get on the L.A. Lakers at the start?
Hold on, it's in my pendings at Pinnacle. I'll look at it right now.
We're speaking with Doc from Legends. OSU Cowboys is our special co-host for today's program. Mo had a doctor's appointment, but he will return next Wednesday. I've got Mo's 3 plays for today's card. He loves those underdogs in baseball, and he's got a couple of dogs today. We'll get to the selections in a moment. OSU Cowboys is going to reveal his top play on today's card as well, and I've been on a nice run on this show. How about 25-9-1? I've got a total today in the National League that I'll release coming up in a moment. But, Doc, let's finish up with you. What's the price on the Lakers to win it all that you secured at Pinnacle?
+256.
Say that again?
+256.
Okay, 5-2, a little better than 5-2. Sounds good. That sounds good. I think you probably could have secured that price at the start of the playoffs.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. I know. It's okay now. I didn't look too smart earlier.
Doc, thanks so much for joining us. Again, the company is Legends. He is the head odds maker for Legends. You can go to legends.com for more information on his operation. It's Legends with a Z or Legends with an S. Doc, thanks for joining us. We'll chat with you down the road. Good luck in the NBA playoffs and beyond.
No problem. Thanks. Good luck, guys. Bye-bye.
Doc here on the program, and OSU Cowboys, you peppered them with a few questions. It sounds as though that's a decent operation, not so much for the post-up players, but certainly if you had a credit account at Legends, it looks like you could do some good.
They know what they're doing. I mean, they're no dummies, and obviously if they've got huge sheets like that and letting people fire in $20,000 round robins, that's they're taking a bet, which is great, and obviously they understand how VIG works and how the market works, and He's no dummy. There's a reason why he's where he's at.
EOG Poster, the Blueprint, had a question. He posted in our in-show thread at EOG.com. The Blueprint was wondering about significant line moves. Doc talked about point spread moves in football and basketball. The Blueprint wanted to know, OSU, what you would consider a significant line move in baseball. It's a matter of semantics, I am sure, but what do you consider significant when it comes to a baseball number moving?
Anything 2% or more is big. I know that's kind of a gray area there because some, a lot of people don't understand what 2% means, but not 2 cents in a baseball game, but a full 2% is enough for me to bet it. I'll follow it at that. And again, it boils down to, he said it the best. You got the people who are following their ass totals that are just laying numbers that are just retarded. Number maybe 132, and then they go out and lay 135, and they think that just because it's Raz, it's golden and it's going to win. And, I started a thread not too long ago about Alf and his, golf plays. And it's my opinion that after the market has moved as much as it moves, sometimes as much as 10%, on Alf's recommendations, his pinnacle markets move, I believe there's value on the other side. That's just the way I see it, though.
And we learned through Perpetual Checks posting that Alf, even at the best of the numbers, is not doing so well of late. I mean, his track record has been outstanding at Vegas Insider for many years, but at LVA Sports recently, Alf had a tough time finding golf winners.
He did, I actually got his stuff through another guy, and it's not been very special, to be very, very honest. And just a word of warning to the EOG people. I don't know if Perpetual Check's posting a lot or not now. I don't follow the boards much at all anymore. But he's one of the smartest living human beings on the planet. And so if he says something, you can tell by the detailed work he's done. The guy is he's literally one of the smartest living humans. I mean, he's incredible. He understands the sports market at a level that's well beyond even what I grasp. And he is an absolute winner, and if he says it, it's true.
I like hearing that, and I think of Computer Bob too when you talk about Perpetual Check. Computer Bob's another guy who's razor sharp. What about Viejo Dinosaur? He's a poster who lives in Thailand. Best of luck to Viejo, by the way. I understand there's some civil unrest in Bangkok right now, and he's just about an hour from Bangkok. So best of luck to Viejo. What do you think about Viejo Dinosaur's gambling acumen?
Well, it's if I've got my story straight, he's a world class backgammon player. If I've got my story straight, if I'm thinking of the same guy, he's a world class backgammon player. I think that Viejo's stuff probably at one time was ahead of the market, but I think that a lot of old school people and who do things the old school way, the voodoo way, or whatever, just throwing darts. I think that the game and the market has really passed those people by. I mean, I think you see guys like, was it Boston that at one point in time was ahead of the market because he was just so smart and kind of thought a little bit outside of the box. But his handicapping methods today are going to be break even at best, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I think Alan Boston's a good guy, but I just think that I don't think he's going to win moving forward. That's just me.
We'll step aside and take the final time out of the show. When we return, we'll get to the selections. We'll put all this theory into practice, and we'll try to find winners for you today. We've got 5 selections coming up here in the final segment of Winning Wednesdays.
Old school meets new school. You want a bookmaker you can trust, one that's established, secure, and offers more per play. You want bookmaker.com. At bookmaker.com, you can win big and play safe 24/7, 365. From international sports to all styles of racing to casino games and poker tournaments, play with confidence at bookmaker.com. Sign up today and get a 20% bonus and earn free plays with our exclusive loyalty program. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
There's no question who the biggest start is when it comes to sports handicapping. It's Adam Meyer from AdamWins.com, the sports consultant to the stars. Go inside the numbers each week with AdamWins.com. Adam will supply you with all the information you need to make money this weekend. Call Adam at 800-355-5883 or go to AdamWins.com. That's 800-355-5883 or go to AdamWins.com.
you found the best place for quality internet talk. Around the clock and around the world. TalkZone.com. Time for more Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone.com.
Final segment of our 60-minute show. The time flew by. We want to thank Doc from Legends for being our special guest today. Let's get to the selections on the program. Mo has three plays. He was 2-1 last week, including a nice underdog winner with the Washington Nationals, a plus $1.59 over the New York Mets. Job well done there. Mo looks for dogs in baseball. I'm not going to knock that strategy. His one loss record has suffered because of it, though. He's 4-8. We'll see if he can get to 7-8 with three winners today. Here are Mo's three plays. He likes the Boston Red Sox. Minus a run and a half over the Minnesota Twins because he's asking the Red Sox to win by two or more runs at Fenway Park. He gets to take $1.56 on that game. So the Red Sox minus a run and a half plus $1.56. I'm in Chicago and Mo likes the road team today at U.S. Cellular Field. He'll take the Angels plus $1.42 over the White Sox. A pair of lefties to the hill, Saunders and Danks. Mo likes the L.A. Angels plus $1.42. And his third and final selection, the Tigers play the A's in Oakland, and Mo likes the road team. He'll take the Detroit Tigers minus $1.18, Verlander over Braden. Braden, two games removed from that perfect game, Verlander, a hard thrower. Mo likes the flamethrower, Verlander, over the lefty Braden. Take the Tigers and lay the $1.18. And by the way, in that Red Sox-Twins game, I failed to mention the starting pitchers. It's Buchholz and Baker. So it's the Red Sox minus a run and a half plus $1.56, the Angels plus $1.42, and the Tigers minus $1.18. As for my top selection on today's card, I'll go to Citizens Bank Park where the Phillies play the Cubs, 7:05 Eastern time start. A pair of lefties go at it, Moyer and Gorzolani. Moyer is the oldest player in Major League Baseball. He has been for the last 2 years. He's 47 now. The soft-throwing lefty has the slowest fastball in the big leagues. His fastball tops out at 82 miles an hour. I think the Cubs' right-handed hitters, guys like Lee and Ramirez, guys who have been struggling, should get a good look at Moyer today. I'm going to go over the total of 9.5 runs. Gorzolani is no bargain. In fact, Gorzolani in his last start threw 113 pitches and covered only 5 innings of work. He faced 28 batters in a 10-6 loss to his former team, the Pirates. I think these two lefties get banged around in the bandbox that is Citizens Bank Park. Let's go over the total of 9.5. There was some money on the under at Pinnacle yesterday. I saw that total at 10 earlier, down to 9.5. I checked the weather because I thought, well, maybe they're betting the weather, the fact it's cold in Philly, but I see temperatures in the 60s for tonight's game, so I'm going to go against the move and go over 9.5 in the Phillies-Cubs game tonight in Philadelphia. OSU, you're there in Las Vegas. You're in the parking lot of the M Resort Casino and Spa, and we're glad to have you on today's program. How about a winner for today's action?
9:18 under 9.5, lay the 15 cents. Yankees under. I think it's going to close good. Actually, I think it's going to close scalpable, and that's all I know. I mean, I know Burnett has done a lot better at home than on the road, and I think Davis gets back on track after his slow start last game out. And I just think I don't expect the slugfest that we've seen over the last couple of days with the Boston and New York series and rivalry that always seems to be high scoring. I think things the pace gets slowed down a little bit here.
Yankees and Rays under the total. And OSU, again, what was your total on the game?
Under 9.5, minus 15. You should be able to find that somewhere.
Is there such a thing as key numbers, OSU, when it comes to totals wagering in baseball and the NFL? We always hear about the threes, the fours, the sixes, the sevens, the tens, and the 11s, the 14s. What about key numbers when it comes to totals wagering in baseball?
Obviously, the 7, 9, and 11 are the key numbers because that puts it on odd. So if it's, you know, ever 4, 4, 5, 5, or 3, 3, those numbers turn out obviously hit the majority of the time, especially later in the inning as the game progresses. Obviously, you know, the seven's worth about 14%, the nine's worth a little over 10%. So those are huge key numbers. As a matter of fact, yesterday here at the M, I played over seven. Over seven minus a little money, and then played it back online under 7.5 in the Kansas City Baltimore game, and I got the game to land 7 and sided the thing for a very, very large free roll. So it was extremely nice.
I like those large free rolls.
Yeah, those are great. I mean, I was even money one way and minus 116 the other way, so I was laying, you know, about 6% for a 14%. For about 7% hit, so it worked out really well. I mean, I just got lucky, landed 4-3 and scooped the cheddar. It was great.
Scoop the cheddar. Any luck with the in-running wagering at the M? I know they're offering a lot of that live betting. Have you tried your hand at in-running wagering at the M?
I have not, John. I'll tell you, the only in-running I've done was at the Palazzo with you know, Ray Cabino and I, and we did that during the bowl season. And you know, the variance, there's not enough variance in a basketball game for them to make many mistakes, especially when they're running minus 15 cent lines both ways for a total of a 30 cent line. You know, the biggest point you can have, your biggest thing you can have is essentially a 4-point play, which doesn't happen, you know, maybe one out of every 50 games. But, you know, the 3-pointer is really all you get. In football, there's 7 points, you know, and the field position means a lot more. And in basketball, it's hard for them to dog a number or screw up a number. But in the football, Ray and I did extremely, extremely well playing a live in-game, you know, during the bowl season.
Last question to you, OSU. The posters at EOG, there are many. You mentioned a sharp few. You said perpetual check. I mentioned Computer Bob. I love the contributions of Munson 15. Bernardo in Costa Rica is a big supporter of mine. You have one poster, young poster from the state of Indiana, who you respect tremendously.
And I, you know, I brag on this kid all the time. I've only spoken on the phone with him a handful of times, but Irish Tim is absolutely gets it. He gets it at an extremely young age, and you know, not only the sports market, but he could go into any kind of market and beat it just because he understands market liquidity and volatility and so on and so forth. But he is a very sharp guy, and I've spoken with him recently, and you know, I guess that he told me that some of the guys at EOG have been giving him shit, and you know, for the way he does things and the way his understanding of the sports market. And you know, the last thing EOG wants to do is lose Irish Tim. I promise you don't want to run off anybody else. They've run off enough of the sharp people that actually have a chance to win, and Tim's one of those guys. And I brag on him all the time. And his upside, John, in my opinion, is a lot higher than mine. His ceiling is a lot higher, is what I should say. His ceiling is extremely high.
OSU, thanks for the time. We'll chat with you again. We'll hope to see you at EOG posting more frequently. I know it's been a tough month, but it sounds like you've bounced back. Take some money out of Las Vegas and head back to Oklahoma a winner.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
That'll wrap up our fast-moving show for OSU Cowboys. For Doc from Legends, I'm John Kelly. Special thanks to Blondie for arranging our interview today with Doc. Get well wishes to Mo, who will return with us next Wednesday. We'll chat with you at the EOG Forum.